I'm Michael Lippin, and this is Voice of America's VOA China 360, a weekly podcast looking at how China influences the rest of the world and how China is influenced by the world, including America. This week, we look at China's new charity law, which took effect last month. It's the first ever legislation to regulate and manage Chinese charities on a national basis. Chinese leaders hope the new law will boost charitable giving nationwide and promote the growth of charitable organizations which previously had been operating in legal gray areas. But some critics say Beijing has an ulterior motive for introducing the law.
If you look at the history of the Chinese when it comes to managing civil society, it's always been, in many respects, about control.
Reza Hazmath is a political science professor and China watcher at the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Canada. He says Beijing does not trust domestic non-governmental organizations to operate without oversight by state authorities.
They do not trust civil society actors, because when they look at other jurisdictions, in Russia or in many African jurisdictions, civil society can be opposing the state in its activities. And so as a consequence, the Chinese state has always been wary of NGOs and, you know, where their sources of funding is from, and what sort of activities they have.
The new law requires domestic charities to register with the Chinese Ministry of Civil Affairs and makes them accountable for reporting their finances and activities. I asked Hazmath whether he thinks that will work.
You know, it's too early to really see the effects of the law. I mean, it's only been a few months. But with that being said, I think the objectives of the law from the government standpoint is to, you know, have more checks and balances with civil society actors. And really, it's interesting because how it compares to other jurisdictions, or how it might vary from other jurisdictions, is the fact that this law is more of a security apparatus. In many respects, it's a way to ensure that social organizations who might threaten the legitimacy of the state can be reined in, and those who are working in partnership with the state or are working together with the state are supported.
If the Chinese government finds itself supporting more and more domestic charities, Hazmath says that could actually be a positive development.
By virtue of the fact of having more and more NGOs registered, that you are able to monitor them more, and because the NGOs become more and more predictable by virtue of these new laws, ultimately you are able to trust them more because there's greater engagement with the NGO and the state.
Another positive? In Hazmath's view, the fact that the new law removes previous limits on how charities could operate.
Think about where China was beforehand. Beforehand, if you were an officially recognized NGO, you can only work in one issue area, in one geography, in one local geography, mind you. And so it was difficult scaling up. It was extremely difficult to scale up because from a regulatory standpoint, you couldn't. And so with the new laws now, what you can do is you can form larger NGOs. You can have multiple issue platforms. And so if you're a domestic NGO, this is a win-win situation because you're able to secure greater funding, you're able to professionalize quicker, and you're able to actually scale up in a much more rapid manner than beforehand. And what the implications could potentially be, and I think that's fascinating that we don't really think much about, is that Chinese NGOs, by virtue of having greater capacity and the capacity to scale up, means that they're going to go abroad eventually. And we're actually starting to see many homegrown NGOs in China are actually going overseas now.
But what about the work of foreign charitable organizations in China? How will the new law affect them? It actually doesn't affect them directly, because foreign NGOs will be governed by a separate Chinese law that takes effect in January. China says that law serves a similar purpose, to clarify foreign NGOs' legal rights and obligations for the first time. But critics see the foreign NGO law as another tool for China to control foreigners whom it suspects of trying to undermine its communist leadership. Political scientist Hazmath says Chinese leaders hope to achieve that control through a combination of both the foreign NGO law and the domestic charity law.
From their standpoint, this is a great sort of situation where domestic NGOs are able to increase their capacity and ultimately are crowding out foreign NGOs. coupled with the fact we are actually having more restrictive foreign NGO regulations. So from the Chinese standpoint, it is a win-win situation. From a foreign NGO standpoint, it can be very frustrating, obviously. That does not mean, however, that a foreign entity cannot influence the state or influence social policy in China. It's just the NGO route may be much more hampered.
One U.S. charitable organization determined to keep operating in China despite the complications is the Golden Bridges Foundation. Its mission is to work with Chinese nonprofit groups to strengthen their capacity and sustainability. I spoke to Golden Bridges founder and CEO Holly Chang, a Chinese-American, and asked her how she thinks the new Chinese laws will affect her foundation's work.
My organization has always been positioned as a bridge builder, and which means that we are providing new ideas and potentially exposing people to benchmarks that have occurred elsewhere. And ideas that might spur innovation and to promote collaborative exchanges between Chinese and other organizations. I don't think that role is going to change. And I do think that possibly the way that we register might have to change because of the new laws and things like that. But that bridge building role, I think, remains.
Chang, who also serves as executive director of Chinese American advocacy group, the Committee of 100, says it is not necessarily a bad thing if foreign NGOs eventually play a smaller role in China.
Hopefully, as a nonprofit, you feel the goal is really to work yourself out of a job. Otherwise, the social change you're supposed to be seeking is not happening. I think it's a positive thing that domestic organizations will be able to proliferate, especially domestic philanthropy, which will then invest further into the expansion of the domestic sector.
Chang says that expansion should be encouraged by other foreign NGOs operating in China.
I think it's the organizations that have wanted to claim a space that they should be the ones alleviating poverty, that they are the ones that are coming in to save the children, so to speak, or educate the Chinese. I think those organizations, hopefully they'll transfer their ideas and produce new ideas, but really build the capacity of domestic organizations to run on their own. Hopefully that is the goal. Hopefully it's not the goal to come in and subvert the domestic organizations.
What do Chinese social media users think of the new domestic charity law? VOA intern Mingmen Xuan found that some users of microblogging site Weibo don't like the Chinese government exerting more control over charities. One said, "This is such a severe infringement on our personal rights." Other critics complained that the law will boost one particular charity with a poor reputation, the Chinese Red Cross. Many Chinese think their Red Cross is corrupt because of a 2011 scandal in which a flamboyant female internet celebrity posed as a Red Cross manager. China's Red Cross has denied having anything to do with that woman. But there have also been positive reactions to the charity law on Weibo. One user wrote, "With all the charitable information being public, this can solve the trust issue with the charities in our society." What kind of impact do you think the new charity law will have on Chinese civil society? Share your opinions on Twitter at @VOAChina360 and on my Facebook profile, Michael.Lippin, as well as on YouTube at youtube.com/mlippin and on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/VOA-English. I also invite you to listen to this podcast on iTunes. Just do a search for VOA China 360 and subscribe. Well, that's it from me for this time. I'll be back next week with another VOA China 360. Hope you can join me then.